We're joined today by Veronica Sviatko, a student here at HKDI. Veronica is originally from Ukraine and has kindly agreed to join us today to share a little bit of her experience here in HKDI and in Hong Kong in general, but also, and maybe more importantly, to give us a little bit of insight into the current situation in the Ukraine, which is in the news. Welcome, Veronica. Thank you for coming.
Hello.
So when I asked you to, if you'd be willing to do this last week, you said yes. Things were very different. It's changing very quickly. So we will talk about what's going on there. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about you, if you don't mind. Can you just tell us maybe what brought you to Hong Kong, how long you've been here, and how you like it so far?
I've been here since September, but I came back to Ukraine for winter holidays, and I was interested to come into Hong Kong because I was studying in summer before in Beijing and Shanghai, and last year I was studying the program in China University of Hong Kong, and I like the city very much, and people, culture, and like the location and transportation, it's really nice here. Then I did like more research on possibilities to study here, and since I was doing the IB diploma program, it was kind of not that hard to get here. And my brother is also studying here, so it's easier for us to like stay together and help each other if it's need. And before I was applying actually to PolyU, but then I changed my mind to do fashion business, and I got to HKDI.
Mm-hmm. So fashion has been an interest of yours for a long time?
Yeah, I was interested in it since I was small, but my parents want me to do more something about like business management. Mm-hmm. But then like I didn't get enough points in my econ test, and then I just decided right away to go in fashion.
But fashion business, so a compromise.
Yeah, it's still not like fashion design, but something right. related to business and fashion.
Right. How do you find fashion is different here in Hong Kong than Ukraine? Specifically, like people your age, is there very different styles?
Actually, in Ukraine, there are not that many fashion universities. I even think there's none of them in Ukraine. That's why it's not really the good thing to study there, and the way the like the education is totally different, because in Ukraine, unfortunately, after you graduate, it's very, very hard to find a good job or even just a normal job. Here it's like sounds better for international students to find a well-paid job even during the study, and also like it has better career opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I like it more.
So far, HKDI, has it lived up to your expectations? What's some of the positive stuff, and then anything that you found a little less than positive?
Yeah, I was impressed. I was impressed by its like overall look, and how people are friendly here, and they're trying to make my life easier and help me if I have any difficulties. But of course, there are some parts that can be better, and I think they're going to be improved in future years. But my classmates are really nice, even though they're a bit shy, because it's like part of Chinese culture, Asian culture. Mm-hmm. I can understand it, and in some way I even like it. But yeah, overall it's really nice. And
well, so everyone listening to this will be familiar with Hong Kong culture, probably, but less so with Ukrainian culture. So like, if you were going to compare the way that it's different in the Ukraine in terms of, say, students your age, how are classes different and interactions and all that stuff?
For me, like, as I understand Hong Kong people right now, they are totally different from Ukrainian or Russian people, because even at the age of 30, they are still kind of playing games, and they like more to have the job that will bring them happiness, and they will really like, because in Ukraine people think just like about money, even though they don't like the job, but it's like it can help them to get more money, they will do it. And the thing about classmates and students, at the age of 18, 20, Ukrainian teenagers think already about cars, apartments, and how to be like successful before 25, 28. And here, being at the age of 18, it's just the same as being at the age of 12, like in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's good or bad. I find it really interesting, and maybe it helps like to manage more problems in easier way, and like don't bother yourself with things like money and focus more on what you like. Mm-hmm. It's just totally different.
I wonder if it's partially just necessity, right? I'd say Canada is maybe somewhere in between, where if you don't need to worry about that stuff, you know, you're just lucky, you don't have to. In the Ukraine, you're forced to earlier start thinking ahead, maybe.
Yeah, I have some friends, they are originally from Hong Kong, but they studied in UK or Canada, and they are very different from local people who never was like in any other country, because they have this kind of experience of different cultures, and they spent like a couple of years in other place, and they learned the like way other people think, other way like people act, and so they have really really good experience, and it helps their like of job and career much much better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get to the the news. What's happening, what's on the front page of every newspaper in the world right now is pictures from your country. So tell us where you and your family are from in the Ukraine, and then if you could just, from your perspective, a quick sort of timeline for listeners of how this crisis started and some of the major things that have happened.
Okay. So I'm from Kiev, and my family is live in Kiev for now, and my grandparents live in Crimea. And as you know, for now, these cities are like the most in danger in Ukraine. And so I can't say that there is nothing to worry about, or it's like a big problem for my family there. Since they live in a countryside, they don't really like being in danger unless they go in the city center. But still, the schools are closed, universities closed. Most workplaces doesn't work now. And I'm really worried about how like my sister is gonna like finish their like year of studying, and if my parents will be able to pay for my like second year tuition fee. And my grandparents in Crimea, they are middle-class people, so they don't need to really worry much about if somebody gonna like steal something or if it's gonna be like so much crime around. But still, as long as Russian tanks and helicopters around, it's dangerous just for their lives. And I wish they could leave Crimea as fast as possible, but all roads and airports are blocked for now. So it started in autumn of 2013. As I know, the Ukraine wanted to join the European Union. And the problem was that if they would join and stay together with Poland, Slovakia, Slovenia, the post-Russian speaking countries, they're going to be the majority of Russian speaking people there, so they'll have more power to choose their government or change the politics
within the EU.
Within the EU, yeah. But since Germany is the one who is like sponsor whole Europe and the one who like really controls all things going there, they didn't want this. So they, as I know, according to Ukrainian media and gossips, Germany paid Russian some money and Russian paid it to Ukraine to sign the contract between Ukraine and Russia to make it stay closer to Russia and not go to EU. This thing made Ukrainian citizens crazy and they disliked their president Yanukovych because they thought it's going to be like he should take care of them and improve their living standards and salary, everything, like rate of employment. But he didn't change his mind even after like strikes and people asking him to at least allow them to follow some of the European laws, rules. But he changed it even for worse by rejecting all their like wishes and sign like more closer contracts with Russian President Putin.
Mm-hmm. He also, wasn't there those protest laws where if you were protesting the government, the penalty is much, much bigger?
Yeah, it was growing like since autumn, it was growing until now. And as I know, on the 18th February, there were about 25 people killed, but people didn't stop pressing on the government, and then they just made the president go away. And they let all prisoners go, like just let them go. And in one way, it's really dangerous for my family and my friends because these people are, like, you don't know what they will do tomorrow because they burned, like, the whole main street in Kiev, Maidan, all shops, all restaurants. And but they also let go the post-Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, even though they don't want her to be a president, as I heard. But still, she can share her mind and encourage people to fight for their freedom, their rights. And what is happening now is in European Union, they like have a gathering of ministers of each country, and they are talking about what actions should be taken to make Russian soldiers leave Crimea. Because it sounds really crazy when Russian president saying that he's just trying to protect Ukraine by putting his tanks and helicopters there. Mm-hmm. And as I heard, if America will put their weapons on the territory of Ukraine, it will lead to a big war because Russia won't stop. And what they're asking now is Russian soldiers just leave Ukraine, leave Crimea, and go back to their place. The other thing was made that most of people who were striking for changing government to Russia was paid, and they were originally from Russia because some of my friends told the guys in Donetsk that have a flag and was striking to change government in Russian. None of them was from Donetsk. They all was from Russia and they were paid.
Wow, so excellent summary, but obviously a very complicated situation.
It is.
Changing day by day. So what, I mean, you being so far away, it must be difficult. Can you just, your feelings as this is going on and you're seeing it from such a distance?
It's really hard for me to stay, like, keep calm and don't think about this too much because there are not any, like, place in Hong Kong where I can watch Russian news or Ukrainian news, just online, some videos. And the other thing is 1 week ago when the situation was on its peak after there were many people killed, mm-hmm. My credit card was blocked, so I couldn't even pay for my apartment price for next month. Now it's fine, but last week it was so much pressure, and I was asking if I can do the part-time job just in case if I won't get my pocket money from my parents. But as I know, overseas students are not allowed to do the any like kind of part-time job in Hong Kong. And I hope this problem will be solved soon, even though now I'm not really looking for it, but like just summer internship or next year some part-time job for my like pocket money would be really good. There is also like a kind of pressure from the homework, because just the same as semester one, when it gets closer to the end of semester, it's just too much, and sometimes I don't have enough sleep, but I know it's just the process of living and experience.
Well, that's a mature attitude. I don't envy you. I think it's in the best of times can be very stressful, college, especially this where it's compressed. It's amazing to think that not just sort of like emotionally it's affecting you, but literally banks are shutting down in the country and it's really affecting you in
a
real way.
It is because the US dollar is now like so much higher. It changed completely in Ukraine, and I'm still not sure if I will be able like to get my parents' money to pay for the next studying year, so I might be looking for the kind of some summer job, but I hope it's gonna be better. And I'm not the kind of person who is emotional. That is the difference between people from not from Asia, because most of my friends, they are like really emotional.
Hong Kong people, you mean, or
most of Asian people? I was studying in China as well, and what I saw is like sometimes they have high points of like feeling super like really fun and happy, mm-hmm. and sometimes they just feeling so depressed and they cry a lot, and yeah. It's just maybe different personalities.
I think Canadians, it's my only reference point, are probably similar too. Ukrainians I've met have been like you're describing, sort of even, like very sort of steady.
Yeah.
So in terms of your classmates here, how aware are they of everything that's happening, do you think? And obviously you have some that are very close friends who I'm sure you share with and stuff, but do you get the feeling they, it's something they're aware of, or do they understand how closely it's affecting you?
Actually, they are really taking care of me, and they keep asking me almost every day how I feel and what's going on there. And it was really funny on the 18th of February, when like there is a timeline change between Ukraine and Hong Kong. So at the time it was revolution in Ukraine, it was already morning in Hong Kong, and then some students just came and asked me, I heard there's something really, really horrible happened yesterday night in Ukraine. Do you know anything about this? And by the time I didn't know anything. So then I go to the internet and I understood what, like, what happened. Yeah. So they're trying to keep me in touch and translate me news.
Right.
Not just my classmates, but like plans around Hong Kong.
Right. That's great. I mean, well, it's one positive thing, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
really
nice.
They are
really
nice, and I like the people in Hong Kong.
That's great. Good, good, good. In terms of your family, what do you think they're hoping for in Kiev, in Crimea? Best possible scenario?
As for me, I just want this all to finish as fast as possible, and like to have a peace there, because any war or any actions that involve violence are not for good, and I don't want any people to get hurt or die for even freedom or any like change in government. It's not the way that it should be solved. There are like normal rules and laws that people should follow to keep the situation like stabilized and like at least like just let Russians go and keep everything as it was before.
Right. Well, any questions? Well, obviously we all hope for the same, that peace finds the Ukraine quickly. You're incredibly well spoken about it, and really thank you very much for sharing all that.
Thank you too.
Yeah. Of course, I hope you know that everyone here at HKDI supports you. Everyone.
I know.
And so, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And maybe we'll be able to do a follow-up in a few months with a happier sort of tone to it, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Let's hope, anyway. All right, thank you so much.